Midsummer Racing returns to Chicagoland Speedway. Get ready to fly your Speed Freak flag at the Stars and Stripes NASCAR Weekend, June 28th through July 1st. Tickets for Sunday's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Overton's 400 are available now. 4 days of racing, 5 nights of camping, cars, and country music. Reserve your spot now. Celebrate the Stars and Stripes Weekend, June 28th through July 1st. You could hang with John Yurko Yurkovich at the race. Get the ESPN Race Day package at ChicagolandSpeedway.com/ESPN.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
My idea is to put drones above there. And if the baseball hits the drones, it's an automatic 3-run shot. And the
That's a one in a million, isn't it?
Launch angle, baby.
The later it gets in the game, the more drones there are on the field for comeback.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Not just one drone.
A bunch of drones.
There'll be a number of
drones. How about some of the fans fly the drones?
Yeah.
So now you get some dangerous.
You can't trust
them. I don't want drones above me for any reason.
Yeah, what happens if the ball hits the drone and a part of the blade goes flying off and cuts somebody in the neck and the stands and eclipses the jugular?
We're going to have netting.
More netting.
Yeah. More netting. Great. Yeah. I don't think I like your idea. You're right.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Welcome in on this gorgeous Tuesday. Yurk's actually off today. He's playing in his annual golf outing with the fine folks over at the Hayes Mechanical guys, right? Isn't that what he always says?
Look it up, Danny.
He's playing at Harborside, I think, today.
That's a beautiful course.
Great, isn't
it? Right by me.
It's right by you.
Yeah.
Great.
Southeast side.
I haven't played forever. I love that. They got 218s out there. It's fabulous.
Yeah, Jordan plays out there. Michael Jordan.
Does he?
He's played out there, yes. Absolutely.
Such a cool course. You see a lot of the views of the skyline. It's fantastic. That's where Yurko is today. I mean, he's definitely golfing. Hoodie's kind enough to sit in. Yurko will be back tomorrow when we're out and about tomorrow, midweek in the South Loop at Aurelio's with Tito's, giving away White Sox tickets. So you can come by and see us tomorrow. It's great to have Jonathan in, though, and Tim Kirchen here in just a second to help kick things off with us. Reese Davis in about 30 minutes. We'll talk NBA draft. Hoodie and I will have a lot on that. Just 2 days away. Hoodie and Chris Black and Nick Friedell will have our draft coverage starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday, right after Waddle and Sylvie live at the Advocate Center. And, of course, on draft night, the show goes until whenever, until Gar and Pax are done and until they speak. You guys will be on the air Thursday night.
Last year it was till midnight.
Yeah.
But Ocheval was still open, so it was all good.
Thank goodness. Hit Ocheval afterwards.
Right, so.
Boy, that sounds like a plan. I might come down and meet you guys just for that. I'll meet you guys after, like the old days.
Yeah, that's kind of the old.
Let me know when you're done.
That's our post-draft party, usually.
I'm not joking. I might drive down and meet you at Ocheval. Let's get out to our guest hotline and say hi to one of our faves. Talk a little baseball here, some White Sox and big picture MLB stuff. The article that we've discussed on the station the last couple days from the weekend from the Wall Street Journal about the dip in attendance. And it's got the eye of the commissioner, Rob Manfred. Tim Kirchen joins us to kick things off here on ESPN 1000. Timmy, how are you?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing well. Like, you know, I'll tell you the one thing that I don't know, like it upsets me. It's so crazy. I'm such a fan of Mike Trout. I feel like a kid watching Mike Trout. You know, I'm 41 years old and I get giddy. I try to stay up late and watch as many Angels games as I can. And I took my son to see him when they played the Sox last year. And we're going to go again later this year. And I've seen him play a couple of times. And like, I find myself getting frustrated that he's so good in such a miserable place. Like he's doing as good as he's been, he's doing historically good things now. And you look at the standings, they're 10 and a half games out of first place. It doesn't seem fair, Tim, but I guess life isn't fair.
Yeah, well, I'm 61 years old, and I enjoy watching him as much as you do, if not more. And yes, I share to some degree that he's not playing October baseball every year and that his team is now in trouble trying to make the playoffs, given a very difficult division. But this is kind of, and it's hard to rationalize this, but this is one of the beauties of baseball is the best player on the team, the best player in the league, can't necessarily take over every single game like LeBron James can or somebody like that. So you have to surround him with people, and right now the Angels don't have enough good players around him to make that a really viable franchise. They're working on it. They're really trying, but they've got a lot more work to do.
Timmy, what's the team that you enjoy watching the most in the big leagues? Maybe your league pass guilty pleasure when you're watching or covering a game. Is there a team that really resonates with you this year?
Well, the Braves are hard to take your eyes off of now, given that they were not supposed to be a contender this year, and right now they're in first place in their division. But it's more than that. It's the excitement level. It's that beautiful ballpark in which they play. It's watching Ozzie Albies, who's like 5'7", hit home runs the way that he does and leads the league in extra base hits and all that. It's Ronald Acuna, who's got just such incredible talent and physical gifts. And it's some other guys on their team, including Freddie Freeman, one of the most underrated hitters
of
time. They really have a fun team to watch, a really good team to watch, and I think they have a chance to stay in this race for most, if not all, of the season. I still think the Nationals will win that division, but the Braves are a lot of fun to watch. I just saw him the other night from the booth, the night we had Hank Aaron in there, and even he was, he was exceptionally impressed by the way the Braves play the game.
Tim Kirchen's our guest, Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Jonathan Hood's in for Yurk. So about the dip in attendance, revenues are obviously very good. I don't know what the TV ratings are like from year to year, but historically, there hasn't been much fluctuation. I think I read in that Wall Street Journal article going back over the last 20 years, it's never been more or less than about 2%. It's like 7% this year, the decline in attendance. And even Rob Manfred, Tim, said that it can't all be the weather. Why is it happening now?
Well, I think there are a lot of potential answers to that question, but there's no way around this, fellas. We've got a lot of bad teams out there. We've got a lot of teams that are way out of races. The other day, early June, we had the first time in Major League history that a second-place team had a 14-game lead over the third-place team for the first time in history. Think about that for a second. We've just gotten to June, and the second-place team is 14 games ahead of the third-place team. That was in the American League East. And we have other divisions in which teams already are hopelessly out of the race. So when you have a bunch of teams saying, we're going to follow the Royals and the Cubs and the Astros model, we're going to get bad, then we're going to get good, several teams are in that cycle right now, and therefore the Orioles aren't drawing, the Reds aren't drawing like they should, because those teams are in trouble at the moment. You got to hope it's going to turn, things are going to get better. And now that, you know, in our county where I live, kids are out of school as of yesterday for the first time. So maybe attendance will start to pick up, but there's a little bit of a concern that there are a lot of bad teams out there, and that's going to drag attendance down.
Timmy, we saw one of the more colorful umpires, definitely in our generation, Dutch Rennert, passing away. Got any Dutch Rennert stories for us from your time around the game?
I'm not sure I do, although he without a doubt has the greatest strike call of all time.
Yes, he did.
When he turns, and he does it differently for a right-handed batter than he does for a left-handed batter, turns, screams, and makes that demonstrative strike call. That was something I'll never forget, and this won't matter to anybody, but we have a guy at ESPN who can do everybody's strike call who's worked or out call who's worked in the major leagues for the last 30 years at least. That's and great. He can do it on command. Like Aaron Boone used to be able to do any sort of batting stance for you almost on command for anyone. You ask our pal Judd at ESPN, give us Dutch Rennert, and he will get down in
awesome.
That stance, turn to his right, scream the exact same way, perfect, absolutely perfect impersonation of Dutch Rennert. And when Larry Boa joined our staff years ago just for a short time, I said to Larry, I said, watch this. I said, Judd, give us Dutch Rennert. And he did it in the newsroom, and I still laugh thinking about that.
I love those parlor tricks.
That's
great.
I had Ednan Verko pick for that. I thought Ednan would be doing that.
Timmy, did you see the video? I don't know, it was maybe last week, maybe the week before, and it's like a couple years old, but the video and the audio of Tom Hallion trying to calm a situation between, I don't know, I don't even remember who the Mets were playing. I mean, this goes back like 3 years. Did you end up seeing that video on the internet and the great exchange between Tom Hallion and Terry Collins, who was still with the Mets at the time?
Yes, I know which one you're talking about, and that's the one I believe that baseball would like to get rid of.
Yeah, why do they so badly? That's what I was going to say. Like, I found that pleasantly refreshing. I thought Hallion did a really good job handling that. Now, I get there was some offensive language. There was a term used by Terry Collins that baseball doesn't want to be associated with. I mean, I get that. But, like, why are they – why the desire to so badly, like, completely scrub that from the internet?
I think it was the language, and I don't think, as you said, baseball wants any part of that. And because it's on the internet, it makes it so much more watched and so much more recognizable. But I'm with you. I thought it showed that a lot of umpires, and I'm a big umpires guy. I used to, on a tiny level, I used to umpire a lot of games when I was a kid. And there is a certain back and forth that umpires and managers and players go through. And there's a certain art as an umpire for allowing players to get through certain things. But baseball just didn't enjoy the language, I'm sure, and said, all right, we can't have words like that spoken. Let's get it off the internet, right. Which, of course, is easier said than done.
It's almost impossible, yeah. we still got a little while before the trade deadline. I mean, I realize that. On the South side, James Shields is, believe it or not, kind of had a nice year. I mean, at least so much better than the last year and a half since he came here. He's eating a lot of innings. He's gone deep in games to me. Will there be any interest? Not that the Sox would get a good prospect necessarily, but will teams be calling the White Sox looking for James Shields?
Sure. Every team is looking for somebody to help them down the stretch. And I must say, more often you're looking for a reliever that can get two left-handed hitters out in the eighth inning of a playoff game. That guy is going to go before James Shields does. Because for a contender, you're really not as concerned about eating innings as you are about getting guys who can get people out in a relief role in the postseason. But without, perhaps, huge starting pitchers available down the stretch, maybe James Shields could help a rotation get the ball to the bullpen a little bit easier and help you win a couple of games down the stretch. And the fact that he's pitched in the postseason before and he's not afraid, that's all going to help the chances of the White Sox maybe getting something for him.
Timmy, this is a tough spot for the Cubs as far as their starting pitching is concerned. Tyler Chatwood, as we have this conversation, has already walked four guys through an inning and two-thirds. Or the second inning, Tim. He's already walked four. He's walked to Small Island already as a Chicago Cubs. So this has been very tough for him. Hugh Darvish will be coming off of the disabled list pretty soon. And Montgomery has pitched very well for the Cubs. So how should the Cubs handle this situation if Chatwood can't garner control?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Corey Kluber had the 168 straight batter's face without a walk.
Crazy.
And in between his walks, Tyler Chatwood walked 36 guys.
Oh, my God.
Think about that for a second.
It's ridiculous.
But his stuff is good. And I talked to Joe Maddon. We did a Tyler Chatwood game from the booth a few weeks ago, and he did not pitch well, and he walked the house in the first couple innings. But Joe told us before the game, and we understand this is him defending his player, love his stuff, great movement all the time. The problem is with that movement comes a lot of pitches out of the strike zone. You guys know this. Just watch that delivery. There's a lot of moving parts there. We talk about really smooth deliveries. He is the opposite of that. When you take that ball out of the glove like he does, and it's just kind of suspended there briefly, that's a hard thing to do to get to repeat a good motion, and they've asked him to try to correct this, but that's really hard to do. It's like asking me to be taller. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you for everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See you.
We'll see you. That's Tim Kirchen. Always great. Covered a lot of ground there. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. We'll get into some Bulls draft stuff after the top of the hour. Reese Davis will join us. Hoodie and I will share our thoughts about what the Bulls are gearing up to do a little over 40 hours from now. We got the draft starting on Thursday night, and Hoodie and Chris Bleck and Nick Friedel will anchor our station's coverage starting at 6 over at the Advocate Center.
Tell me something
Dutch
I didn't
Runner
know.
Call was awesome, by the way.
Straight!
Your best.
Whoa!
I mean, like, Frank Drebin had to get it from Dutch Runner.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something.
He's
doing the cha-cha. He's doing the split right
it's
there.
So great.
Tell me something I didn't know, Carm.
All right, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you about Arctic Coolers. They're fantastic hoodie. Perfect for the summer. Perfect if you're traveling up to a lake house, if you've got a beach party, kids' games, tailgating on the south side. Arctic Coolers are big and bad, not cheap plastic coolers. They can keep your ice cold up to 10 days. That's right, 10 days. These are premium coolers. Go to their website and check out their other products, too, like tumblers and soft coolers. Go to arcticcoolers.com. Buy there and only there. And because of that, you'll save 60% versus the competition. That's right, 60%. They eliminate the middleman. They do not sell these in stores. They pass the savings on to you. So get to arcticcoolers.com today. That's RTICcoolers.com. Shipping's free on all orders over $35. That's Arctic Coolers. Overbuilt, not overpriced. It's Carmen and Yurko. Trending's next on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We are out and about. Big show at Dutch and Doc's in Wrigleyville, and we have some special guests.
That's right. Jed Hoyer live and in person at 3 o'clock. Then Theo Epstein live and in person at 4 o'clock. We're talking Cubs and Dodgers, brand new place in the new hotel across from Wrigley Field. Oh, and Jesse Rogers is going to join us at 2:30 live and in person.
The NBA draft is a few days away, and I'll take you inside Waddle's world. We get started at 1:45. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
I mean, I'm right, right? Am I right?
Well,
You're right, pal? You're right, pal?
Boy, man, I tell you, the allergies.
The allergies, I get it bad, too.
The last week, terrible. I don't know why.
I'm on the pills.
Yeah, so, I take so it every
okay.
day.
Yeah.
And a nasal spray I take.
Yeah.
Hoodie's in for Yurk today. The guys are at Dutch and Doc's. We'll cross talk with them in about an hour. Theo and Jed will be stopping by. And nothing's changed, even with the double header. And it's the newest restaurant in the Boca Group. And those are our friends, Kevin Bame and Rob Katz. Everything they touch turns to gold. Mm-hmm. I mean, their restaurants are fantastic. I'm sure Dutch and Doc's will be great. Go see the boys today. And tomorrow, me and Yurk are at Aurelio's, which is a Southside institution.
I love Aurelio's.
I do, too. I love the sauce. I mean, you really do.
Grew up with Aurelio's.
Great. We're at the one in right here in the South Loop, Roosevelt and Michigan. That's where Yurk and I will be tomorrow with Tito's giving away White Sox tickets.
A lot of foot traffic around there, pal.
A lot of foot traffic.
So you'll be getting some walk-up business.
That's right. Noon to 2 tomorrow. Come by and have lunch with us. Have a Tito's, get some pizza. And we've got some White Sox memorabilia to give away and White Sox tickets. We'll be talking baseball, draft, all that fun stuff at Aurelio's tomorrow on Michigan. There, it's the corner of Michigan and Roosevelt Road in the South Loop. Yurk and I will be there from about 11:45 until 2:30. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox. The Sanctuary is home of the $31 Wednesday special. You can't beat that. Visit golfsanctuary.com for more info. All right, Danny, what's trending? Anything good?
Well, Tyler Chatwood is trending because he's issued 4 walks on 53 pitches.
Wow.
Cubs are losing 1-0 currently to the Dodgers.
All right.
Senegal is trending. They had a big win today.
Huge win. Yeah. I mean, Japan upset Colombia. I think that was an upset, right, Chris?
Yeah, that was an upset.
Senegal over Poland. And now I'm hoping that Egypt can upset Russia because Salah is playing. They got bet down from like 380 down to about 3-1. So I took it, and let's see if Egypt can win.
I hope you win, man.
I hope Abdallah, too. He's, you know, we want to support
more
him
for
Abdallah.
You, Carmen, though. Well, let's support you.
Of course,
you.
Of course.
Jonathan and I want to support you.
Of course.
You.
Yeah. We want to support you, but we also want to support Snowball if he's...
Snowball,
That's funny. That Snowball character sounds just like Abdallah.
It does. It's weird. Is Snowball doing World Cup updates?
I think you guys... I heard it yesterday.
Yes.
Why? I haven't heard it yet. How have I missed that?
Hello! That nonsense.
It was at the start of Waddle's World.
Was
yesterday.
It?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
I heard it yesterday.
Jumped in a little bit late.
Yeah.
3:30.
All right, what else, Danny?
Neymar trending. Boy, boy, for you Brazil fans.
This
he
could
limped
be bad for
out
Brazil.
Of practice today.
Oh, boy.
He was only there for 15 minutes. He hurt his right ankle. Brazil officials said the injury is not serious. Don't worry. It's just a precaution.
Oh,
but if
boy.
I was a Brazilian fan, woo, would I be nervous.
Yeah, Brazil just with a 1-1 draw in its first game, too. Okay, what else?
Sterling Brown is trending. He is suing the city of Milwaukee and the police department over the viral video of when he was tased a few weeks back.
All right.
He was tased and abused by the Milwaukee police.
Wasn't doing anything, was he?
No, well, you'd... when you look like Sterling Brown, you'd have to do anything.
Didn't appear to be.
I mean, that was a pretty tough video to watch, but they all are very difficult to watch.
Well, I mean, he had like the mayor and was apologizing before the video even came out. You know, when the mayor saw it, I mean, oh, geez.
So did the Bucks. Yeah. The Bucks felt bad as well.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
What else, Danny?
And lastly, Juneteenth is trending, and it's a holiday that commemorates June 19th, 1865, when slavery was abolished.
Oh, that's beautiful. How about that?
Beautiful day in
American
history.
June 19th, 1865.
So,
all right.
So when you see Juneteenth, the hashtag Juneteenth 2018. Yeah. That is what it's about.
Good. Tomorrow's the longest day of the year already. Can't believe it. It's getting shorter already, Hoodie.
Depressing.
At least in terms of sun. Take it easy, everybody. The days are 24 hours, no matter what.
You're talking right to Huebner when you say that.
Yeah, you're just talking to one
Freddie.
Person.
I mean, take it easy, Fred. We know the days are 24 hours in terms of daylight. How's
24
that?
Hours. I told Pat. It's the same thing. All days are 24 hours. That's what's up my can. I told Pat. We got a new piano. I said, no. She says, yeah. I says, no. She says, yeah. And then she says, no.
You've added a new one to the repertoire. That was great.
I don't know.
That was wonderful. How good are PXG clubs? Well, golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable.
I was down at the condo, and you know what we did, Fred? You know what happened? I was at the condo.
Yeah, how was that condo?
It was great. The sun came out. Yeah. I said, no, I don't like sun.
Have you enjoyed the World Cup?
The World Cup's great. Soccer. I told Pat. I says, no. Okay, we had the sandwich, right? Great sandwich.
Great sandwich.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about PXG clubs. Where was I? They're described as the best golf clubs out there. Their customers call them insanely good and say that they live up to the hype. PXG clubs have won on the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the Japanese Tour, the Korean Tour, the Latin American Tour, and even a college national championship. Tour pros describe PXGs as undeniably the best in the real deal. So, what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy more golf than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG or visit PXG.com to book your custom fitting. Available throughout the Chicagoland area and PXG fitting centers. I like the one in Glenview at the Glenview Club. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period. Reese Davis next on ESPN 1000.
No.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, Hoodie's sitting in for Yurk today. Yurk's playing in a golf outing. He'll be back tomorrow. Remember, Yurko and I are going to be broadcasting live tomorrow, our show live, starting at about 11:45 with Crosstalk at the Aurelio's in the South Loop. We did a show there last summer. It's on the, let's see, that would be the southwest corner of Michigan Avenue and Roosevelt Road.
Good job there, Rand McNally.
You like that?
Yeah.
This is just
off,
for you.
Off the top of your head.
I had to picture it. I go, wait, let me see it now. Yeah, that's the southwest corner of Michigan and Roosevelt.
Get your moral compass working.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to be there giving away White Sox tickets and other cool White Sox stuff, Tito's stuff, ESPN stuff. We'll be drinking Tito's and having pizza. Love Joe Aurelio and all the guys. So, and gals, we made pizzas last year. That was fun for a Facebook Live post that they did for Aurelio's, and we'll probably do that again tomorrow. So come by and see us at the Aurelio's in the South Loop mañana.
As a Southsider, that really was a standard in my house.
Oh, right. For sure.
So you just had to go.
Yeah.
When you know, families are together going to the Aurelio's on a Friday night or something like that.
There's one by me we go. We go all the time. Go to Armand's, Aurelio's. Love those old places, man, that we grew up on, you know? I love the sauce. I got to tell you, the difference is the sauce.
Well, the thing that you love about those old places is the standard. You know, like they always have a standard. It doesn't change.
Right.
It's always great. So
when you walked into the original one, did they have one of the old cigarette machines, too? I used to love those as a kid. Yes. My brother and I would walk up to those. We'd pull on the
yes.
And they had the old knobs and you'd pull on it. We'd see if a pack of cigarettes would come falling out. Like they sold this in the restaurant. Like, think how crazy that is. You can't even tell a kid that today. They wouldn't get it. Like,
no.
It was a cigarette machine in every restaurant you went into as a kid.
Right. That's no question about
it. And your grandparents went in there and got a pack of Marlboros and sat at the table smoking cigarettes.
There's Marlboro. There's Cool. There's a Lucky Strike there. Just keep pulling up. There you go.
My parents didn't think one second of it. My grandma just sitting at the dinner table smoking a cigarette in front of us.
Listen,
you didn't care about secondhand smoke.
If people really wondered, like, what's wrong with us, because we had plenty of secondhand smoke.
That's why.
That's what's wrong with us.
Really, is it any wonder?
I told you as a kid, there was, you know, the seatbelt was there just to play with.
That's
I didn't actually have it on as a kid.
Never.
What was that?
Never.
It was just a button to play with.
That's all. Yeah. Never had it on. Nobody checked.
No.
All right, let's get to the car, our guest hotline. Remember, Thursday night, the draft from the Barclays Center. You're going to watch it on ESPN, and you can listen to our local coverage with Hoodie, with Chris Bleck, and with Nick Friedel live at the Advocate Center. From the Barclays Center, Reese Davis will be anchoring coverage on TV, and our good buddy, who's always so kind to talk college football and college basketball with us, joins us on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. You all set for the draft, Reese?
I think we're ready, getting closer by the minute and seeing what type of intrigue goes on. I was in Chicago last week for a function for the University of Illinois Hall of Fame inductions, and there are a lot of people anxiously awaiting the Bulls pick, and I got the sense that it was Michael Porter that most of the fans covet more than any other.
I've seen a mock draft that has Michael Porter going to the Bulls. I've seen mock drafts that have Michael Porter off the board and the Bulls taking Wendell Carter. Mm-hmm. They're both going to be options, right? Like, what would they do there if they had a choice between the two, Reese? A year ago would have been inconceivable to get Michael Porter at 7.
Right, and I think that the Bulls might be in a position where you go for a guy who is who has a potential anyway, if he can stay healthy, of being a superstar-type scorer. Now, there are those who believe that Wendell Carter Jr. will show much more offense in the pros than he did at Duke. One thing, and everybody loves comparisons, and sometimes they're a little bit lazy, a little overly simplistic, but just for the purposes, sometimes I kind of group guys into like either you're a superstar or you'd be like a Juwan Howard, who will play 100 years in the league, mm-hmm. very productive everywhere he goes, but and be a really, really good pro player, but maybe not the ultra superstar. I think Carter will be at least that. Is that the best way? But I think he will be at least that, mm-hmm. that he will be a really solid pro who's a coveted asset for people, but he may not be the ultimate franchise player. Now, his ceiling could be that maybe his game evolves offensively and he becomes that. So I think he's a really, really safe pick. But if you're shooting for everything and going for the big-time offensive potential and the size and all of those types of things, then if you have that choice, maybe you take Porter.
Reese, how interesting is it that a few years ago we didn't have so many guys at the top of the draft that are projected to be this long and athletic? It looks as if we go from Ayton to Bagley. We already mentioned Mo Bamba earlier and Wendell Carter. It just seems like every team at the top of the draft, they would love to have their own version of Giannis Antetokounmpo. How interesting is that? For that change for the draft?
A lot of really good bigs at the top of this draft. I know my buddy Jay Billis said, who has inspired a drinking game across the country on draft night for, drink up every time he says wingspan. He said he's going to need a designated driver to get home from the draft. there's so many guys who have that great length that teams covet now. But I do think it's, the game is changing. You're seeing has changed, and you see a lot smaller guys playing the five position and guys who are more versatile. It is interesting to see what's going to happen and what the next evolution is. If it is that, if these guys are good enough to spark a next evolution in which there are more bigs. But the one thing to offer about that is that DeAndre Ayton can make a shot from the perimeter. I think Marvin Bagley III can do so. I think Mo Bamba has been working with a noted individual workout guy named Drew Hanlon, who's a great shooting guy, and he has. He had already proven that he can make some shots, and he's even gotten better. So, these big guys are not your old school when we grew up back to the basket types of guys.
No, it's so different, Reese. You're right. I mean, as the athletes have gotten better, and just the guys with size have so much more athleticism, it seems like. I mean, there was, you'd never ask fours and fives to constantly switch out on the perimeter the way these teams expect them to be able to do in this day and age in the NBA. That's what this league is becoming. And so, you see all these bigs, they're going to go, but it is a very different big man. Now it's about wingspan and athleticism. Will they have the requisite athleticism to start switching all those pick and rolls you see at the three-point line in the NBA?
Yeah, and that's the thing that's really interesting as you look at the scouting reports and you read through them on the players. That is one of the things. Can switch, within this range, can switch 1 through 5, all of that kind of stuff. That is really important to teams now as they try to defend this. And, I saw an interesting thing the other day. People were talking about all the ball screen offense, which is basically all you see in basketball at just about any level anymore. Mm-hmm. Stockton and Malone did it for years, and you knew they were going to do it, but all of the little nuances and the expertise at executing it made it something you still couldn't defend, and we're seeing that now. It's not like that there's some big offensive secret that a lot of teams are running, but being able to do something about it if you have a guy who's a great handler, you space the floor with great shooters, and have, you know, a couple of guys who can execute it with the ball in their hands and make the right decision, then, you know, it's nice to be able to switch. You still might not be able to stop it.
Reese, what do you think of the guards that could be taken early here in the draft, starting with Trae Young, then Alabama's Colin Sexton as well? I saw the numbers for Trae Young, watching him, loved him in the non-conference. In conference, wasn't as impressive. How do you see the guards?
I think it depends on what you want, and I think I would add another guy into that mix, too. I would add Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky, who I think has really improved his stock late in the season, the offseason. Now, he's bigger than both Colin and Trae. You know, he's a little lengthier. I think he's about 6'6", whereas, you know, Trey's probably a little over 6'1", if memory serves from the combine measurement, and Colin's about, you know, 6'3", maybe. And so I think those three guys are all really good players. Young is easily the most skilled offensively. He has the greatest range. He's the best shooter. He's probably the most creative passer. He's obviously prone to prone to turnovers. I love Sexton. I think that he has great potential to improve his shooting. He's not a bad shooter now, but he's just not a knockdown lights out shooter like a Trae Young. He's really competitive. If Colin Sexton were 6'4.5" or 6'5", he'd be a top five pick. And I don't think there would be any question about it, because he's such a dynamic defender. He's, you know, he's explosive. He's competitive. He's got a toughness about him. I think people do think that he needs to control his intensity a little bit more. But I love Sexton, and I love Gilgeous-Alexander too. And I like Trae Young, but I do think that there's some risk with Trae Young, because he's, you know, the Steph Curry comparisons are good from a skill standpoint and a range standpoint, but Steph's significantly bigger than Trae.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean it's not that I don't think Trae can play. I do, but I do think that bears evaluation. If you're looking at it and you think you're getting, Trae Young, which you're getting Steph Curry, what you're getting is Trae Young is, you know, not quite as big, but he's still a really gifted player, and the way the game's played now could very well, be a star in the league.
Who's your favorite player in this draft?
Ayton, I think, is just, I think his size, his athleticism, his soft touch. He probably needs to be more of a rim protector, but I think he can develop that, because he certainly has all of the tools to be able to do that. But Ayton would be my favorite player, and followed by Bagley. I like what I've seen of Doncic, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I've only seen the YouTube clips and the highlights that other people have said, and read the scouting reports, and obviously these other guys from covering college basketball, I've seen quite a bit, and seen some of them even before they got in college. So I know them better. I think Doncic is certainly an intriguing guy, certainly a very accomplished guy who I have little doubt, based on accomplishment, will be a very good pro. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm as familiar with him from watching him as I am these other guys.
Any sleepers that you've heard about? I've been seeing it at the bottom of the first and early in the second round. I like Jalen Brunson from Villanova. Actually, a couple of Villanova guys. Him and I think that DiVincenzo has been on the rise.
Yeah, seems like it.
Over the last month, from maybe middle second on some projections to maybe middle of the first. What do you see there, Reese, with him?
Well, I like all of those guys that you mentioned. I think Brunson's going to be a guy like Frank Mason or Fred VanVleet that everybody questions and wonders, and then he's going to play for 100 years and be a really good pro. DiVincenzo is – the thing about Dante is that he's much more explosive than people realize in terms of his vertical leap. He's a guy – you talked about switching earlier. He's a good defensive guy. He's an unselfish guy, as shown by coming off the bench. I really like him. Another guy that I really like is the kid from Boston College, Jerome Robinson, who can flat score. He's another guy that I think that could be picked in that range that you're talking about, that could be a sleeper, that if memory serves, I think the Bulls are picking their second pick somewhere in that neighborhood,
22.
Yeah, I think they might have an opportunity at both of those guys, and both of those guys you mentioned would be, would certainly be good pick.
Have fun Thursday night, Reese. We appreciate the knowledge as always.
You bet. All right, guys.
Talk to you
care.
Soon,
good
buddy.
Luck to the Bulls.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. That's Reese Davis. Be anchoring ESPN's coverage from the Barclays Center, and then right here on ESPN 1000, you're going to get Jonathan Hood and Nick Friedel and Chris Bleck. They'll do the three-man weave over at the Advocate Center for draft night, and they will have you covered all the picks, all the breakdown, Garn packs when the night is over, all that fun stuff.
You know, the key to the draft, Carmen, is not necessarily Mo Bamba or DeAndre Ayton. You know what the key to the draft is? The key to the draft is to try to find your own Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. It's hard, though.
I mean, like, it's a needle in the haystack.
End of the lottery, a player that, you know, if you redrafted, he would go number one or number two. Tatum would go number one, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like, if you redrafted now because of his size, and I mean, Jason Tatum would go number one. Mitchell would probably go two.
Yeah, because you think about Markel Fultz, nothing.
No way.
Lonzo Ball, nothing.
I still think Lonzo might go three if you redrafted based on it. Or would Markkanen go three?
Well, Markkanen's was a lot more impressive than Lonzo Ball was.
Lonzo did have his moments. Didn't Lonzo have a couple triple-doubles?
Yeah, a couple. Yeah, but they're so few and far in between, though. I want to see Lonzo Ball again.
If you redrafted now, it would be Tatum and Mitchell for sure. And Donovan Mitchell will go from the 13th pick to the second pick.
I'll go Ball and Markkanen with you, and I think that then you're looking at Frank the Frenchman from New York, and that was Dennis Smith from Dallas.
Well, Kyle Kuzma would be up there, too.
Kuzma would be up there. Kuzma still, though, a little bit, and I don't want to disrespect him because he can score. But he's older. He's not quite as athletic. I mean, he's 22 already. You know, like,
but all the
Kuzma
drama
would certainly go higher than he went. But to me, he's not in the conversation of Lowry or Mitchell or Jason Tatum. Not, he's just not. And then you mentioned Dennis Smith. That's a good call.
Well, let me. How about this? While all the drama was around the Ball family, all Kyle Kuzma was doing was scoring.
I know he can score.
Just
I mean, he's just polished. He's older. He's like Taj. I mean, he's better as an offensive right. player, but Taj came into the league as a guy that was, what, 22, who mm-hmm. played, and he could just play.
Tenured guy at
USC.
Taj,
right, he just could play. They didn't have to teach Taj a lot. They didn't have to drill things over and over again with Taj. Mm-hmm. He was more mature. He came in, and he could just play. Like, Kuzma, even on a young team, an older player that just could, you could see it. He's cerebral and he's got skill, obviously. He could just play.
Right.
And he's going to play a long time because of that. But he's not Jason Tatum or Donovan Mitchell, I'll tell you that
no,
much.
No, he's not. But if you can get that one guy, that steal, because that was Utah at 13 getting Donovan Mitchell, that's a team that wasn't even supposed to be in the playoffs.
That's crazy.
Mitchell turned their fortunes around.
They lose Gordon Hayward. They trade Rodney Hood and all those guys. You know, and like they still end up making the playoffs.
How about that?
Joe Ingles having big games. Donovan Mitchell was awesome. And I mean, it's like Quinn Snyder can coach, man. I'll tell you that, too. They got talent, but he can coach. At Buffalo Wild Wings, they'll admit they often go overboard with the limited time offerings. They can't help themselves. Take the new signature sampler. For $15, you get wings and three shareable options like fried pickles or cheese curds. Then there's the aptly named over-the-top nachos, a literal mountain of crispy tortilla chips loaded with your choice of pulled pork or honey barbecue grilled chicken, corn jalapenos, and more. Top it off with the new Platinum Margarita. Go overboard with the folks at Buffalo Wild Wings today. Wings, beer, sports. Available for a limited time while supplies last. Please drink responsibly. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join Coach Fitz and the Music Bowl champs as they host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Single tickets are available at NUSports.com, NUSports.com.
How about that lineup this year for the home games at Evanston? Fantastic. Nebraska, Michigan, Wisconsin, Notre Dame.
I'm hoping that we could do something around the Northwestern Notre Dame game. That is going to be special.
Yes. I'm going to one of those games for sure.
Yeah, that's a heck of a schedule right there.
Great home schedule this year.
So Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between, Carm. So you can go first.
I'm going to start. I got one from the weekend.
All right.
Tony Finau, who had a busted ankle to start the Masters a couple of months ago, still finished tied for 10th, I think it was. No injury this time around, but boy, he's got this guy's got game. I mean, he's long and lanky, and he just hits it a ton. He played very well.
Nice shot out of the fescue in 18. See that?
The problem was the tee shot in the fescue because he ended up double bogeying. That cost him $200,000.
Oh!
$200,000. Whoa. He had a chance finished. He walked to the tee, tied for third. He ended up finishing fifth, cost him $200,000. So that wayward tee shot on 18 cost him $200,000. Don't feel so bad, though. You know what he still took home for just playing golf over the weekend? $500,000.
Oh, wow.
Boy, we got it. We should have been pro golfers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Vino's got game, man. He's going to win one of these, I think, someday. He really is a good-looking player.
Restaurant shuttered after all-you-can-eat promotion backfired. Not because I was there, but a restaurant in China was forced to shut its doors after an all-you-can-eat promotion backfired and sent the eatery deep into debt.
Oh, my God.
So this is in China. Again, all-you-can-eat meals. There is a monthly $19 pass that led to the restaurant's downfall. $19 of all-you-can-eat for a monthly pass.
Wow.
And, of course,
close the doors.
It sent business to, let's say, $78,000 in debt in less than a month.
It's a lot of General Tso's chicken. Right?
I General. I salute you.
Danny, what is Diana's favorite thing to get when you guys go, like, authentic Chinese food?
I can't even say it. Like, her, my wife, Diana, and her mom is Chinese.
Look it up, Danny.
They order, like, real hardcore stuff. Like, they don't order sweet and sour chicken or...
beef and broccoli?
Order stuff like that, they look at me like I'm nuts.
Well, what do they order?
I can't pronounce it. It's, like, really, like, hardcore Chinese names.
Really?
Of dishes.
What does it look like?
They usually have noodles. They always have, like, these... thick noodles.
Yeah.
They
like a fat noodle. They like a thick noodle. What is that? Like,
well clearly what they kinda, do.
Okay. Yeah, clearly.
Clearly.
We could actually share a dish. I could suck on it first, and then she could eat it.
I mean, Danny.
It's like Gabe Kapler's way of eating ice cream.
Do they like Kung Pao?
No. Like, those are Americanized.
They are?
Like, when you
Kung
go to
Pao, they don't eat Kung Pao?
When you go to Italy, did you order, hey, give me the SpaghettiOs with Franks?
You're telling me Kung Pao is like SpaghettiOs? I didn't know this. I mean, I don't...
It's like the Americanized version.
So, lo mein, is that what you're saying?
Lo mein?
Yeah,
lo mein noodle?
I've never heard them say lo mein.
Egg foo young?
No.
You're telling me they don't...
A foo young, I think, is like...
a beef pad cow?
Actually, you're...
that sounds more like it.
Actually, you're a foo young, Danny. You're the foo young. That's the problem. Don't you get some of this stuff at Blue Apron? Can't you get some of these soba noodles?
Chicken chow mein, Danny?
No, that's too American.
I didn't know that they didn't eat Kung Pao chicken. That's an Americanized thing. Huh? I would have never guessed that. Okay.
Cellophane?
Cellophane noodles.
See?
Dan noodles?
That doesn't sound
familiar.
We got
to get Diana on the phone here.
If you guys want an experience, go with my wife and my mother-in-law.
I don't like Chinese food, but I want to go just for this.
And go on a Sunday morning when they do dim sum.
Oh, man.
And my mother-in-law will order some stuff up to the table that you will not believe that you're putting in your mouth.
Really? I'm not going to want to know? Is that what you're saying?
No, you try everything.
I don't understand. It doesn't taste like ramen to me.
That's right. Why isn't it?
This
like
is not on my podcast, Mom. Why should I eat this?
They leave him at home. They don't even take him anymore. They go by themselves.
They leave him at home? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. They don't want him there to ruin the... Why?
Because he would ruin it.
To ruin the whole meal?
I brought my own container.
Right.
Here's something that's really special. In a green container.
Please.
I'm sorry, Diana. It's just not my cup of tea. Don't mean to offend.
Danny's got to be that guy. He's walking in with his own food. Danny, do you have a story?
I've got two. I like to play Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh. All right.
I will give you two choices. Would you like to hear a story about a really expensive marijuana joint or about a man that was thought dead and turned out not to be?
Well, that sounds interesting. The latter. I want to go with that one. What do you think, Huddy?
Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah.
All right. A man in his 40s was reporting missing last year and later found, then confirmed dead by police, and his family had him cremated, but they were shocked when he returned. Mm. According to police reports, the man in his 40s went missing from his home last year. His family filed a missing persons report immediately and called the police, who started searching for his whereabouts. On June 21st, 2017, Police found an unconscious man in the river near his home. His facial and body features were matched to those reported by the family. The man was found in the river with no ID. The family was then called. His wife and two relatives, and they identified the body, confirming it was him, and there was no mistake. The man's status went from missing to dead, and they had his body cremated.
Wow.
That was the end of the story. That is, of course, until June 6th of 2018, when the man returned home.
Where was he?
It does not say
how
in the story.
How can it not say?
I was upset by that also.
Where was he for a whole year?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
And the guy's what I miss.
They look, right, they look so much alike that the wife couldn't tell?
Yeah. And the man that she thought was her husband wasn't in his 40s. He was in his late 20s.
Wow.
Okay. You know what?
That's bizarre.
The moral to that story is you got to divorce her.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference between a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old.
Well, where'd the guy go for
That's what I really want. He was probably in Vegas.
Wow. No, maybe.
For a year he goes away.
It's a long weekend.
Well, actually, you know why he left. Look at the wife.
I guess.
He couldn't have done any better, though. He came back.
he tried his luck.
Maybe the problem's me.
Listen to this story now. This might scare you a little bit.
All right.
About all this AI, okay? Uber has filed a patent for an artificial intelligence system which could be used to tell if passengers are drunk and potentially refuse them service. Its computer scientists have invented an artificial intelligence network capable of guessing a user's state, quote unquote, through machine learning. That sounds bad. The techalizer will be able to work out whether passengers are likely to behave uncharacteristically during a trip and then automatically modify their journey. Although the patent does not explicitly mention inebriation, it could be used to help drivers turn down people who have had a few too many. How would it possibly know that by you punching up your app and ordering an Uber? How could it? I can't even begin to fathom how that would work.
Not sure how that would work at all, as a matter of fact.
Right?
When you get into an Uber, you know if that person's inebriated or not. You don't know if you need the technology to know that, do you?
Okay, but how would they know before you got in? Like, what kind of technology could they have? Oh, a camera watching you the whole time?
Well,
I mean, that's what that means to me. Oh, yeah, it's smart technology. It's a learning computer. Maybe just putting something in the app that your phone's going to monitor you the whole night.
Well, I guess if you're an Uber driver and you're on Wrigley Field, I guess your odds are.
Yeah, well, that's true. Going into Wrigley, your odds
are. Yeah, I wonder if it monitors, like, algorithms from, like, OpenTable. So, like, it knows that you've been at this place and you've been at this place. So this is your, like, fourth restaurant you're coming from for the night. Later in the evening,
maybe
you've had a little too much.
Well, maybe that's
it. Well, here's the thing about Carmen that people don't know, because I've worked with Carmen for years now. You got to understand, Chris, that Carmen is very paranoid. He's not very big with the Big Brother thing.
No, I don't like it.
You don't like the cameras. You don't like the shady white van out front because you don't know, with no label on it. You're a little concerned about that.
Jonathan, he's like that, but he has an iPhone sitting in front of him.
I know.
Do you have a computer or an iPad at home?
Of course.
Do you cover the camera?
No.
See.
I know.
Someone could be watching you.
I'm sure
they
are.
At all times.
They probably are. I'm telling you.
I know you're really concerned about that. That's one of your phobias.
It is.
Clowns.
Clowns, for sure. I don't want the Terminator to end up being right. That's what I always say. Like, what if James Cameron had it right all along, you know? We got our buddy John's got Jesse's book out here.
Oh, good. Is it signed?
Oh, and is it signed by Jesse? Wow.
Oh, nice.
Is Jesse signing books down the street? Is he?
He's at some luncheon for his book.
Oh, boy, big time. Forget about Cubs Dodgers. Jesse's signing copies of his book.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Unreal.
Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Try not to suck. Here we go. I'm going to sign it. Mike Wishney.
Mike Wishney signing with him.
At Continental Toyota.
That's right.
This story coming across from yesterday, Bryce Harper shaved before the Yankee series.
I heard that.
This is what Look It Up Danny gives me. Yeah, here's your story there. Bryce Harper shaved. He just gives me the headline.
It didn't really help, though.
But I wrote the line, interestingly, before the Yankees series. That's all.
Oh, like he's going to, I'm going to sign with the Yankees next
year? Listen,
I think he's trying to get out of his miserable funk, and he still had an 0-for, I think, in both games, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't do well.
I think he had an 0-for in both.
Well, you know, the thing is, he probably wants to get away from Davey Martinez.
You guys...
Davey wants Bryce Harper to stay like as if he was wearing a corncob dress.
outfits. Those corn cob dresses and Baby Martinez, man. I tell you. You guys know...
Oh, what's the matter, Danny? You don't
blow.
You don't like that.
Blow.
It's a Sandberg joke.
Blow.
Oh, now he doesn't want a Sandberg joke on the show.
No, it's always good.
No, it's part of Chicago Cubs lore.
It is. Do you know that in Mike Trout... Oh, so you know, the Angels have lost 7 of 8. You know that, right?
Right.
They're 10.5 out. They've lost 7 of 8. Do you know what Mike Trout's numbers look like in those 8 games? They've lost 7 of them. Here's Mike Trout's last 8 games. You ready, guys?
Ready.
Here's his slash line. Batting average of .556, on-base percentage of .658, a slugging percentage of .137, 4 home runs, 9 walks, 4 intentional, 8 runs, 7 RBIs. They've lost 7 of 8 games. It's unbelievable. He is officially on pace to break Babe Ruth's single-season record for wins above replacement. Babe Ruth's 14.1 wins above replacement are an all-time record. That was the 1923 campaign for Babe Ruth.
I mean...
Mike Trout's on pace for 14.4 wins above replacement this year.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to miss the playoffs.
Miss the playoffs, lousy team, second team in Los Angeles. And nobody knows.
It's crazy.
And nobody knows.
And that's what Rob Manfred's got to be thinking. Nobody's going to the games. People don't like big kids. Don't like baseball. They can't get Mike Trout into October. He's on the second team, like you said, in Los Angeles. Right. They can't get. I mean, it's like he's got a fire Artie Moreno. That's what he's got to do. And everybody else over there. Like, how have you guys botched this with the second coming of Mickey Mantle? How have you botched it so badly?
They are still relying on that old 2 World Series. Is that what it was for Socha?
0-2.
0-2 World Series. I mean, he's had that job ever since. You've been riding that 0-2 World Series forever.
It's unbelievable.
You've got, of course, the Ohtani story is kind of sad because...
And that's a devastating blow to them. Yeah, I get it.
It might be like multiple years he might be out here.
Well, he's not going to pitch this year, right?
Maybe not next year.
They're saying he's not going to pitch, though, right, Meller? That he's going to maybe come back and hit, they think, this year, but he's not going to pitch.
He's out for the year. That's what Pedro Gomez told me and Dickerson. It's not going to happen.
Bad for
and he may not play next year either.
Well, if he has the surgery, he won't.
Right. So, last thing is that Tariq Cohen is not Jewish.
Well, now clarify that, though.
How do you know? Are you sure?
He said he's...
Oh, now you chime in.
But wait a minute.
Listen, we don't want to lose.
Now you chime in.
There's not a lot of us.
But what did he say? But Hoodie, what did he say exactly?
I tell the Dave Martinez story, and now he just chimes in.
Of course, now, yeah.
Okay. So...
What did he say exactly?
Here's what I like about this quote.
I like it, too.
I like this quote from TMZ. I'm not Jewish, necessarily, but I do feel accepted by the Jewish community.
See, he's smart. I love Tariq Cohen. I got to tell you, I don't know how good he is or if he really is Darren Sproles, but there's a lot to like about Tariq Cohen.
Because Cohen means priest in Hebrew. A lot of fans wondered if the Bears rookie was Jewish last season, became the buzz. Via the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, in the Jewish tradition, a Kohen is a Jewish priest.
I didn't know that.
The highest priest is called a Kohen.
Kohen? Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
They bless us on the holiday. They do like the Mr. Spock, Nanu Nanu thing.
They do?
Yeah.
That's where they got that from in Star Trek?
To look at it?
No.
Why?
He just went, Mork and Mindy and Nanu, Star Nanu. Trek at the same time.
He just went to Dr. Spock and Nanu
but
Nanu.
They both did the same thing.
All of a sudden, Mork was Jewish?
What?
Yes, he was.
Mork I missed that was episode.
I missed the episode where he became a
rabbi.
See
all his arm hair?
Yeah, I missed that one. Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently. So Mork and Mindy met Star Trek at the same
right,
time.
Right. The one where Mork answered the 3 questions.
Is it?
Is it 3 questions or 4, Danny? What is it?
The four questions.
Mork answered the 4 questions. Didn't you see that episode, Hoodie?
No, I
where
did
Mork
not.
Mork answered
no.
the 4 questions.
No. Nobody answers what? Them. You ask them.
I'm in a chair.
He answered them.
He had to ask them.
Mork answered them.
I'm in a chair.
Mork put an end to all of it. He said, "Hey, listen, everybody, I got the answers for you."
Danny Zetterman is the best. I swear to God. It's just unbelievable, this guy.
Give me the Nanu
Star Trek. I think he was the same.
Star Trek, Nanu Nanu.
But he did. Nanu Nanu was the same hand side, was my
God.
Point.
Just think if we didn't get that Tariq Cohen story, we would have missed that gem.
Oh, how did he say Nanu Nanu? Do you remember, Danny?
Yeah, Nanu Nanu. Yeah,
I don't think he said it like that. He said it like an old Southern gentleman, didn't he?
Nanu Nanu.
He said Nanu Nanu.
Mark, go ahead, Mark and Mindy. Remember that outfit from the beginning when he first came to?
Yes, I do.
That's so great.
Yes.
Old school. Guys, let me tell you about a great new purchase I've made. It's the Arctic Cooler. It's perfect for the summer. Big, sturdy cooler, not cheap in plastic. Like some knockoffs. These bad boys will keep your ice cold for 10 days if need be. 10 full days. Very versatile. Take it to games or tailgates or the lake house this summer, the beach. They've got other great products on their website, too, like tumblers and soft coolers. Order now and save 60% versus the competition. And if you're wondering how that's possible, it's because you have to buy online only. They don't sell these in the stores, so they eliminate the middleman and pass the savings on to you. Arctic Coolers are fantastic, and you better get one today. Go to arcticcoolers.com. That's RTICCoolers.com. Shipping's free on all orders over $35. That's Arctic Coolers. Overbuilt, not overpriced. Well, crosstalk coming up next. Hoodies in for Yurk. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It's going down for it.
Thank you to Hoodie, first and foremost, for coming in today. Yurk's back tomorrow.
He's a tremendous dentist.
Oh, yeah, you go right here or you go back by
right
your
down
house?
Here.
You're right down the street,
yeah.
Huh?
I don't do everything on the, at the South Side.
Well, because Danny's looking for a new dentist. And yeah. I
Dr. Kushner.
I was telling him to go to my guy up north because he's in Kenilworth, Dr. Art Carpenter. I said, Danny's right on the street from you.
Right there in the Fox 32 building, right there.
Where, over here?
Yeah, the Fox 32 building, right down, right here.
Oh, now I can look at that. You get your teeth clean, you come into work.
That's right. I've done that many times.
What's his name?
Kushner.
Dr. Kushner. All right.
Good man.
And waited to Jared? Or?
And a fan of the station.
All right. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Hoodie, thanks. Seriously, Yurk's back mañana. We're going to be with Tito's at Aurelio's. How about that combo? So come have lunch with us. The Aurelio's in the South Loop. So we're going to be downtown Michigan Avenue and Roosevelt starting at about 11:45 with Crosstalk. And we'll be drinking Tito's and soda or however you like it, having some delicious Aurelio's pizza and tons of White Sox memorabilia and White Sox tickets to give away. So come hang with Yurk and me tomorrow. Thank you to Tim Kirchin. Thank you to Reese Davis, Danny Zetterman, our executive producer.
Danny was terrible.
Chris Black, our associate producer.
Danny was terrible.
Danny doesn't like that drop too much. Danny, talk to Sylvie during Crosstalk. Your Crosstalk's brought to you by Low T. Feeling grumpy, tired, or sluggish? Could be low testosterone. Get your levels checked in less than 10 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com for more info. And while we're going to be out and about tomorrow, if you're out and about for Cubs-Dodgers doubleheader action today and you're in Wrigleyville, go across the street to the brand new beautiful hotel and the newest restaurant from the great folks over at the Boca Restaurant Group. And as I mentioned before, Kevin Boehm and Rob Katz, our buddies, are the best. I mean, everything they touch turns to gold. They've just got some incredible restaurants in their stable. And the newest is called, Dutch and Docks, is that right, boys?
Right, Dutch and Docks. That's nice. Where we are.
And that's where Waddle and Sylvie are today.
Do you know the root of the name is, those two are amongst the top three nicknames ever used in baseball history.
Most popular. Oh.
Lefty is one of them, but they wanted to kind of go a little bit away from too baseball-y, because this is a restaurant that Wrigleyville has not seen. I mean, it is a great place where you could still watch the game, but you're going to get the great food that you're used to at the Boca Restaurant Group. And it's two floors, and we're literally at the corner of Clark and Addison, just right across from the marquee. We look out the window. You could see the marquee. You could touch the marquee, basically.
There's a good chance I'm going to take my shirt off and hang myself out, my body out the window
here.
Don't
hang yourself.
Well, I mean my body. I'm going to hang myself out the window here and just wave to all of the people going by. And have a few cocktails.
What a location, yeah. And what kind of food are we talking, boys?
It's got everything. Want a burger, you get a burger. You want a piece of salmon, you get some salmon. You want some rock shrimp for an appetizer, you get that.
Beautiful. I think you can get some baby back ribs. You can get whatever you want.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You got to get over here. I mean, like,
I haven't been up in the neighborhood in a while. I know. I mean, we were there on opening day at the stretch. The weather was miserable, so I didn't do. Remember, it was snowing that day, so I didn't do any walking around.
Think about that. It was snow. Like, snowing even to hear it. Day. when you say that during baseball season, it was snowing that day.
Snowing. It was like 38 degrees, and there were 3 inches of snow on the ground.
So unbelievable how bad the weather had been.
Well, we got good weather up here now, and all of the windows retract, like on the first floor and the second floor. I mean, it is just a fantastic piece of property, so and the great. Views are incredible.
From the Karin, from the seat I'm sitting in right now, so I look to my right, I could reach out and touch the marquee.
Not with those short arms.
I've got, yeah, right. And then I've got the big screen from, you know, that new park area that they built with the Cubs offices.
Yes.
Where the kids play. They've got like this huge Jumbotron TV in that park area. I could look out the window here at Dutch and Docks, and I could see the game. I could watch the game on
that
TV.
That's pretty cool.
That's if Abdallah's not running interference as he's pacing back and forth as Egypt is tied 0-0 with Russia at half at the World Cup.
Good vernacular, Waddle. Does Abdallah know that I made a wager on Egypt?
I don't know.
Is he mad about that? Like, am I jinxing him?
Thanks for jinxing us, Karma.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's good value. No, it was plus 325. They had their shots.
The line, like, we looked at 11 before they made the Salah news official, Adam. They were like a 380 underdog. It went down to 312, I think. So
they
like,
had a lot of shots on goal. They just can't get one of them in.
Put the biscuit in the basket.
They cannot put the biscuit in the basket, or as I come from, the falafel in the hummus sandwich.
Well, we actually used this
Snowball.
Game.
It's restaurant quality there by Snowball.
Yeah.
So Tommy, I got the parlay for you, pal. But you didn't come in the office today. I had you, man. I gave you Senegal, Egypt, Cub.
I mean,
go to the window with that, pal.
If you go to the window with that, think about the return there.
Oh, absolutely.
How about Senegal, Egypt, Cub,
the right?
Double header.
Cub. There you go. Cub.
I think Jonathan was undefeated in the NBA playoffs. Every time I'd see him, he'd give me a play. And, of course, I didn't play any of them.
Hoodie had this stat. I don't know if you brought this up during the show. Hoodie found a stat, a gambling angle, that the Cubs until today hadn't been a home dog in 200 games.
Wow. Really?
That's 2.5 seasons worth of home games.
Sylvie, do you believe that?
I almost find it hard to believe.
I guess I can believe it because of the staff and the guys that they would trot out there, but I would have thought one day like Lackey or Hamill or,
right,
you know, against a good team.
I would think if Tyler
dog,
Chatwood was your starting pitcher at home that somebody may.
Well, that's why they were
a dog today. 200 games.
You're a favorite every time you step into Wrigley Field.
That's amazing.
Now, that's the World Series team, and last year, that covers that.
That covers 16, 17, and whatever happened
that's
has
incredible.
Happened this year.
200 games. Now, we saw this on, what is Action, the website?
On Action, the gambling website.
The gambling website.
Action Network.
So we saw that. We could not believe that number.
Showed me, and I honestly said there's no possible way, but then we're looking at the source. I'm like, those guys wouldn't get that wrong. That's incredible.
That tells you about the roster.
That's their business.
Yeah. And then remember, like, the one thing that Foxy mentioned to us when he did his interview after he signed with ESPN, and, you know, he in so many ways was telling you about the roster without going after pace directly, but he would bring up the stat that the Bears in his tenure were only favored in 8 games.
Right. Yeah.
Think about that.
And like, they were miserable in all of them, by the way.
That's Vegas. That Vegas tells you the roster.
That's true.
Look, their talent and your talent, here's the way we're handicapping the game.
That is amazing that they were only favorites 8 out of 48 times.
I know.
And when Didn't they
lose every game as a favorite straight up, too?
I think so. I think they may have won one.
Did he?
But I'm not sure. By the way, Jonathan, you're listening to ESPN 1000 WMVP. AM Chicago.
Another fine for the station. I just, you know,
I thought you were listening to KMBR. What happened?
WPN New York. No, another fine, Tommy, but, you know, it's on your tab, so it's fine, pal.
That's cool.
How's the buzz in Wrigleyville with the doubleheader today, boys?
You know what? I think there's a ton of people here. I expected it to be a little less traffic-y, but there are a lot of people out there.
You gotta figure out this Chatwood thing, though. Man, that doesn't draw. That won't put butts in seats.
But he's winning. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's the most Chatwoody game. It's the most Chatwoody game because every time you look up, he's giving up a leadoff homer. He's hitting someone in the head.
He's walking somebody.
He's five walks.
He's walking people.
But he's only giving
up one
run.
And then you look up on the scorecard, and there's one run that's crossed the plate.
He's got good stuff. It's just that he doesn't know where it's going all the time.
That's just not going to work. I mean, here's what you do. I think we came up with the decision for him to go bullpenning. Like, if he sucks in the first inning, then bring in Montgomery. Break glass. Bring in Montgomery for six so he can win the ball game. This guy's terrible.
I think I'm going to start using it as a verb. He has chatwooded the bed.
I like that. Chatwooding.
Chatwooding. Yeah,
they don't dump that, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
I will tell you this, though. There were a couple of occasions where...
What's wrong, Carmen? You didn't like that?
No, I do. I do like
it. No, he's doing his cap thing now. No one dumped it. The light's still on here.
No, that's
not paying attention.
What were you saying about Danny earlier?
Chatwooding. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Was Danny not on that? Because you got something against Danny.
Well, Danny was a man. He thought
Danny was terrible.
He thought Sylvie took a cheap shot.
What is he mad about? What, Danny, what are you mad about?
That's what he left. He had to leave.